In a world of conflicting values, where questions are more common than answers, God's Word provides everything we need to live a God-centered, truth-driven life. Join us now for the Word for Life, brought to you by Brookside Baptist Church and hosted by Pastor John Fallahy, as he shares the truth for the day.
Hi, this is Pastor John, Discipleship Pastor at Brookside Baptist Church, and we are taking a journey through the book of Exodus. We are in chapter 30, and it's describing the five activities of the priests. And we're getting a look, a close look, at some of the elements involved in these rituals. We looked at the first 10 verses, and we saw the altar of incense. And then we looked at verses 11 through 21, and we looked at the bronze laver. We're now at Exodus chapter 30, verse 22 through 33, looking at the holy anointing oil. Let's begin reading at verse 22. Moreover, the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, also take for yourself quality spices, 500 shekels of liquid myrrh, half as much sweet-smelling cinnamon, 250 shekels, 250 shekels of sweet-smelling cane, and 500 shekels of cassia, according to the shekel of the sanctuary, and a hin of olive oil. And you shall make from these a holy anointing oil, an ointment compound according to the art of the perfumer. It shall be a holy anointing oil. With it you shall anoint the tabernacle of meeting and the ark of testimony, the table and all its utensils, the lampstand and its utensils, and the altar of incense, the altar of burnt offering with all its utensils, and the laver and its base. You shall consecrate them, that they may be most holy, and whoever touches them must be holy. And you shall anoint Aaron and his sons and consecrate them, that they may minister to me as priests. And you shall speak to the throne of Israel, saying, this shall be a holy anointing oil to me throughout your generations. It shall not be poured on man's flesh, nor shall you make any other like it according to its composition. It is holy, and it shall be holy to you. And whoever compounds any like it, whoever puts any of it on an outsider shall be cut off from his people. Wow, the Lord takes this holy anointing oil seriously. Now, what do we learn from this? Well, first, as we've seen up to this point, God wants the best. That's why he had gold in the most holy of places and silver and bronze. So now we come to these quality spices. It literally means the head, the top, the chief, the best of the best. In fact, Song of Solomon 4:14, spikenard and saffron, calamus and cinnamon, with all the trees of frankincense, myrrh and aloes, with all the chief spices. Same phrase, quality spices, the best of the best. Now the ingredients, let's keep this in mind. There's a weight ratio, okay? We're seeing kind of this 2-to-1. But if the density is different, then the ratio amounts will be different. Now there's 500 shekels of liquid myrrh, cut the bark, and a resin forms from this tree, and that's how they get the liquid myrrh. 250 shekels of sweet-smelling cinnamon, which again, the way that you find this cinnamon is you have to take off the outer bark, and then you get the inner bark, and that's where the cinnamon is. And how people figured this out, I have no clue, because when's the last time you went to a tree, cut off its bark, discovered a bark in there, and said, hey, let's ground this out and eat it. Now, the inner bark, as I mentioned, is found by removing the outer bark. That's how cinnamon comes along. Now, there's 250 shekels of sweet-smelling cane. This is some kind of cane of a balsam. We're really not certain of its identification. And then 500 shekels of cassia. That is another type of cinnamon spice. It's a flower of the cinnamon tree mentioned previously. And then there's a hin of olive oil, which is approximately 1 gallon. So imagine cinnamon, myrrh, cassia, and olive oil. It must have been a very wonderful smelling ointment. Now, I'm not going to mention all these passages, but Ezekiel 27:19, Proverbs 7:17, Psalm 45:8, Song of Solomon 4:14, Hezekiah's sin, 2 Kings 20:13, all mention the cassia, the cane, the cinnamon, the myrrh. These are mentioned throughout scriptures. And the other thing that's mentioned, I don't want to miss this or overlook it, is the perfumer. So what does this tell us about what's going on with these materials? Well, first, it's an ointment compounded according to the art of the perfumer. Now, what we do know is there's some kind of distillation process, boiling, heating, etc., that's used to extract the needed elements to combine with the olive oil to create an anointing oil. And what we discover from reading rabbinic literature is that a few drops would then be applied. So the way to understand this is that you have all this cinnamon, cassia, myrrh, and cane, and it's ground up, it's distilled. And then after the distillation process, it's mixed with the olive oil, this 1 gallon. And so you can imagine this combination of this refined powder from this distillation process, and then it's joined to the oil, the olive oil, this anointing oil. And then you dab the oil on these different elements. So it's a incredible process they go through. Now, what was anointed with this special oil? Well, the tabernacle of meeting, the ark of testimony, the table and all its utensils, the laver and its base, and Aaron and his sons. The scriptures forbid using this specialized compound to be applied to an Israelite or a Gentile. They're not even to create anything like it. And when it says cut off, that means to be put to death. And you could see how this secret recipe could be passed down, and it could be found out by another Israelite or a Gentile, and someone might want to replicate it. Well, that would be a no-no, because if it was found out, someone would replicate this, they would be put to death. Now, the question you might be wondering is, what does this symbolize? Well, certainly, when this is applied, someone is set apart for holy service unto the Lord. Very important. But to me, this pictures the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is often connected with anointing. And we, as believers who have the Holy Spirit from above, when we were born again and the Holy Spirit dwelt in us, we have now become anointed, and we now are set apart for service. Service for the gospel, service to the head of the church, Christ, for ultimately the Father's glory. Now let's continue in chapter 30, verse 34 through 38, where we're introduced to the incense. Let's begin reading at verse 34. And the Lord said to Moses, take sweet spices, stacte and ancha and galbanum and pure frankincense. With these sweet spices, there shall be equal amounts of each. You shall make of these an incense, a compound according to the art of the perfumer, salted, pure, and holy. And you shall beat some of it very fine and put some of it before the testimony in the tabernacle meeting where I meet with you. It shall be most holy to you. But as for the incense which you shall make, you shall not make any for yourselves according to its composition. It shall be to you holy for the Lord. Whoever makes any like it to smell it, he shall be cut off from his people. Wow, another significant command not to copy it. Now, what are the ingredients? Based on this text, it's all equal amounts. So the stacte is some kind of resin from a type of balsam tree. The ancha, listen to this, possibly from the glands of a mollusk used to increase the fragrance for other perfumes. Now, the galbanum is a gum derived from plants, possibly the parsley family. So if you love the smell of parsley, that's probably what's going on here. And then frankincense with these sweet spices. So the idea is you have stacte and the ancha and the galbanum, each of them in equal parts, and then together would be in equal parts to the frankincense. That's how to understand the Hebrew. So the three are in equal proportions, and then they are a certain proportion combined, and then the frankincense would equal that. Now, Matthew 2:11, which I want to mention, is when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, this is the wise men, his mother, and fell down and worshiped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. These are incredible spices for a king. Now, interestingly, during the tribulation, the future Babylon, we learn this in Revelation 18, verse 13, and cinnamon and incense, fragrant oil and frankincense, wine and oil, fine flour and wheat, cattle and sheep, horses and chariots, and bodies and souls of men. So what do we learn here? That in the tribulation, this world system of Babylon, the trades that will be going on will be peddling in these special fragrances. And so this tells us that there is a religious aspect going on here. And a good chance that this may even match what was in the temple, and therefore doing something that was sacred in an unsacred way. Now, the perfumer is mentioned once again, and this time we learn that the process included salt. Now, what's the significance of salt? Well, I think Leviticus 2:13 gives us a little bit of an insight. And every offering of your grain offering you shall season with salt. You shall not allow the salt of the covenant of your God to be lacking from your grain offering. With all your offerings you shall offer salt. Ezekiel 43:24. And when you offer them before the Lord, the priest shall throw salt on them, and they will offer them up as a burnt offering to the Lord. And isn't it fascinating that Christ tells us that we're to be of salt and light? That we give ourselves, Romans 12, Paul tells us, we are a living sacrifice. And so this connection of salt, purifying, but also enhancing the flavor, is who we are to be in this world. Because if salt loses its flavor, it's worthless. And so you and I must be salt and light so that others may taste and see that the Lord is good. Now, we also learn that the perfumer beats it into a very fine powder. And this is to be placed before the testimony, that is the Ark of the Covenant, in the tabernacle. Implied use during the Day of the Atonement. So that's where we see the application of this. Now, again, we're reminded and warned it's not to be profanely used. It's not for ordinary use. And a non-priest who makes it or even smells it will be cut off and put to death. Wow. Pretty amazing, isn't it? These five activities that are connected to the priesthood, the altar of incense and the incense offering, the ransom money for maintaining the tabernacle, the bronze laver for washing the priests for performing their holy duties, the holy anointing oil for preparing the tabernacle and the incense and its preparation. Wow. Well, we've come to the end of chapter 30. And again, look at the activities of these priests. Everything is intentional. Everything is purposeful. Everything is sacred and holy, and it's done in an orderly way. This is a reflection of the life that you and I are to live. Intentional, holy, set apart, sacred, all for the purpose of glorifying God so that the world can get a taste of the great God that we serve. But frankly, ladies and gentlemen, if your life is not holy, if you're embracing sin, if you're not confessing your sin, if your salt is no longer salty, if your light is dimming or has been put out because of ongoing sin, then now stop, repent. And if you're an unbeliever, loosely attached to religious activities, examine your heart and see whether you're even saved. And if not, cry out to God, plead and beg that He would forgive you. Believer, may you sanctify your life so that you can be salt and light.
We hope you enjoyed today's broadcast. If you would like a copy of today's program or have a question we can answer, please contact us at The Word for Life, 4470 North Pilgrim Road, Brookfield, Wisconsin, 53005. For more info about The Word for Life, to make a donation to continue this broadcast, as well as other resources for your Christian walk, visit us at www.thewordforlife.org. Thanks for listening today. Tune in again next time as we bring the Word of God to your life.